What gives you goosebumps, listener? Is it the 90s kid horror of R.L. Stine? The anti-fascist tales of the Animorphs? Or did your parents let you watch even more messed up stuff? I'm Chad Kwan, the host of Goosebuds. I invite comedians and creatives to come on and talk about a classic piece of media that gave them goosebumps. It could be horror movies like The Faculty or Poltergeist, cursed kids media like The Bionicle Movie or Grandpa's Magical Toys. And yeah, sometimes we read a Goosebumps or Fear Street book. Goosebuds is about loving weird old media and laughing about hidden horrors. Check out Goosebuds wherever podcasts are.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego Chicken Sandwich, Fuego Fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego Chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty Classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego Chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Greetings, travelers!
Greetings, travelers! And Bo, we didn't hit buttons this time. This time,
no.
I pushed the wrong button, and I took everyone off stage instead of on stage, and I was like, crap. But if you don't mention it, they won't know, Erica.
That's true. For the audio portion.
I absolutely won't mention it. I also think I won't mention the breaking news we have.
Breaking news?
So, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about this in an episode we tried to record, and the internet gods were not on board for it, but there was a UAP over Denver, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep. It was.
And it's a big, round, very clear on this video object. So,
like a sphere?
It was like a disc. It looked like a saucer. And it was seen over somewhere in Denver. Or near Denver. It was picked up by CNN, Fox, ABC. The major news outlets picked it up because it was pretty impressive to be seen, and no one has come forward with anything yet. So,
I blame the Denver airport.
I think it has something to do with the airport being remodeled and the lizard people and the giant boar horse thing. Yeah.
Lucifer is mad.
Just weird occurrences. But we have the amazing Bo today, as evidenced by our intro. Just kidding. Bo's normally on top of all this. We get to tease her the one time she messes up because me and Mark hit all the buttons and mess it up all the time.
Amount of times I have to take stuff off because it got messed up when I wasn't here.
I believe that. But we're going to do some listener tales because we got to keep trying to stay caught up, guys. We love listener tales. So
it is like a hole in the boat and people keep dumping in water. It's amazing. We thank you guys so much.
We like that they're trying to drown us.
Yeah, it's awesome. If anybody's ever read Terry Pratchett, there's a great book called Going Postal. And it's about a guy who has to take over the mail system and restore it. And because they're so flooded with back letters, it's just the whole place is like filled with letters. And that's exactly what we are. And then the cool thing about that is the wizards come in and tell them, yeah, letters are magic. Words are magic. So, of course, this is causing all kinds of strange phenomena around. And that's what's happening to us. We love eerie travels. We're surrounded by your guys' listener tales, and it's causing eerie phenomena around all of us. So, yay.
Well, exactly. So, without further ado, who wants to begin today's tales?
I'm not picking because then you get mad at me that if you get a scary one, you say, I fixed it. So, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not falling for that trap, Erica.
I somehow you rig this, and I'm not sure how you do it, but I'll figure it out eventually. Bo, you're going first.
Okay. This one has a fun town name in it that I don't know if I would pronounce right.
Okay. Again, one quick statement, gang. We're going to butcher town names. We're going to butcher person's names. We apologize.
This one is funny. It's a funny town name.
We don't read these in advance, so
no.
When you say it, we're reading it for the first time, so please forgive us if we say it wrong, and feel free to send us the correct way to say it, so in the future we may remember that.
All right.
Yep. My friend was driving off I-87 near Coxsackie and saw something sitting on the cliff above. He stopped to look, thinking it might be a bear. He said that had the upper body of a cat, but its lower half resembled a black, hairy alligator with a long, shaking tail. It moved with a natural coordination and was roughly the size of a large dog, but the length, including the tail, was probably 12 feet. He didn't see its face as it was turned away from the road. The creature had both mammalian fur and reptilian structure, seeming like a hybrid. Has anyone seen something similar that would help with IDing? He's super shaken up about it. And this is from Lynn.
Well, thank you, Lynn.
Definitely what does not that sound going like on to you guys.
87 anytime soon. So
what does that sound like to you? We've seen something similar, I think,
this
in our
a lot
research.
Like what's it called? The in Wisconsin.
Yes, the Hodag.
The Hodag, yes.
Yeah, I immediately went Hodag with me, which is supposed to be a legendary hoax, but the guy who hoaxed it swore that he actually saw it, and that's why he built the hoax, was because nobody believed him. And this sounds an awful lot like that. It could be very similar to the Crosswick serpent. That
yeah.
was like, but that was more insect-like on the top half, or lizard-like completely with horns.
Lynn, have your friend look up the Hodag, not the
artistic
picture with, but the actual yeah. what they're saying a Hodag looks like, because it sounds a lot like that to me.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things. We know they saw something, and thanks for that information. I will try to get a team out there to look in that area. So
apparently this town is in New York.
Yeah. I was saying, isn't that upstate New York?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the northern region that particular serpent's been seen in a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm interested. Not too far from Jersey Devil area. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, you're going next because it mentions.
I'm going next. Okay. Oh, and this one's addressed to me. Good. So, my daughter said I should send this to you, Mark. Well, thanks. I hope it makes sense to you. She loves your podcast. Well, your daughter has amazing taste.
Agreed. So, all right. Agreed.
We have our 14-year-old charge his phone on the kitchen counter on school nights so that he isn't tempted to play with it at bedtime. And also that he sees it when he's getting breakfast the next morning and doesn't forget to take it with him. He used to leave it behind often when he charged it on his bedside table. Good plan. All right. Anyway, the night before last night, I couldn't sleep good for no good reason, which is extremely rare for me. I kept waking up, tossing and turning. Well, at exactly 3:18 a.m., I think I hear a faint talking or singing of some sort. I sit up in bed and try to listen closely. I know I hear it now, and I'm wondering why either of the kids would have woken up and turned their TV on at 3 in the morning. I get up to investigate and find both kids sound asleep in their rooms with no TVs or radios on, so I continue down the hall following the sounds of the dark kitchen, where I realize it's coming from my son's phone. I slowly approach it, confused and slightly weirded out, and see that Pandora had apparently decided to start playing on its own out of nowhere. As I reach across the counter to stop the music, I feel heat coming from something. Immediately, I realized that we had left a vintage hot tray plugged in from dinner several hours earlier, and it made me so nervous to realize, but extremely thankful to have caught it before any more time had passed. I collect and resell vintage items and recently thrifted a 1960s model hot tray. I'd planned to sell it, but decided to use it at least once before selling. It worked great. However, there were no buttons, switches, or even lights indicating that it's turned on. If it's plugged in, it's on. As I walked back to bed, I couldn't shake the feeling that the music started playing to bring my attention to the warmer. Could it have potentially started a fire if I had left it plugged in any longer? but mostly how in the world did that music just start playing like that in the first place? In all my years of having a phone in Pandora, never have I witnessed or experienced it just starting on its own without at least connecting to a Bluetooth device or some other logical explanation. It's been all I've been able to think about for the last 24 hours. Anonymous.
That's weird, because I would think that if the phone was getting too hot from something being near it, especially if it's an iPhone, it's going to do that thing where it's like, oh, this phone can't be used for X amount of time because it's too hot. It's not going to start an app.
Yeah, my Google phone will switch to dark mode, and then it'll be like, all right, nope, can't do it anymore. It's too hot. So,
well, I want to give that particular guardian, whatever it is, mass credit for figuring out a way to pleasantly awaken this person to notify them of a potential disaster so that they can go to sleep. So I would just say thank you to whoever that is and move on.
Very much so. I also think a quick reminder for anybody with those anything pre like 1970s. Remember, if you plug it in, it's on. And that's I remember we had the electric football. Does anybody remember that, where you put the little pieces on and it just shakes and the pieces just move around like stupid? It had no skill whatsoever to it. I think they used it in one of the Bill and Ted movies where they played death. But they were dumb games. But if you plugged them on, they would just shake and it would just constantly be on. You'd be like, how do I turn this off? Oh, yeah. Rip it out of the wall.
No, it's true. It's true. Okay. Here we go. Next one. So thank you, Anonymous. And sounds like you have a guardian angel. Okay. I'm going to totally butcher this. I have a place in Immokalee, Florida, that's so haunted that if you would just bring a camera, it would become big time, because it's beyond belief. The only reason I don't is because I have family buried there. Out of respect for them, I don't do it. But I've seen all the kids running behind stones like toddlers to women in white and black, no legs, and many of the folks lose their mind seeing it for the first time. You want to talk about heart stopping? It's beyond true and real. Chris. Well, that sounds terrifying, Chris, and I do not want to go to your property.
And I will bring a camera, Chris. Just give me the directions and address. I'll be there, and we don't have to promote it. Trust me. I'm just happy to document. So,
yeah,
exactly. Keep it anonymous.
Exactly. So, Chris, if you want to, Mark's game. I will not be there. Bo might be there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Bo, this one's for you, even though it says, hey, Mark, because I see what the first line says.
Yeah, it says, hey, Mark and Erica and Bo.
Wow.
Someone has acknowledged my existence.
We all acknowledge your existence.
Uh-oh. I just read the next line. Hey, Mark, it's yet another ex from your distant past.
Another one. Yay. I wonder who this one is.
I was one of the six.
Oh,
I love that. I feel like the six is not something we should discuss on this podcast.
Long story, and I was young and needed the money. We don't talk about that. All right.
You sound like you were leading a cult. I just saw you on TV around Halloween and decided to look you up. I was so surprised to find your books and the podcast. I've been listening for a few months and finally got up the nerve to tell my story to you.
Yay.
If you recall, Jen and I were in that horrible accident with the drunk driver leaving a party one night in high school. I almost drowned and was in a coma for a few days.
That was bad.
I was all good by the end of summer. Same as Jen. We both rejoined the swim team. I kept getting chills every time we would get ready for a race. It got so bad, I had to forfeit a match. I had to quit the team. I've had this fear of pools ever since. A few years later in college, I nearly drowned when a frat ass pushed me in a pool on campus. In the water, I saw a shadow figure. I swear he grabbed me and pulled me down. He was why I couldn't swim back to the surface. I don't recall how I escaped. My sorority big pulled me up. I never went back to that frat ever again. Finally, a few years ago, my two kids and my sister went to Colorado for a ski trip. The kids played in the heated pool in the hotel. I, of course, was on the sidelines watching, while my sister was acting lifeguard. I got those chills again and saw a shadow heading toward my oldest. I finally broke free of my fear and dove in, clothes and all, to save her. The shadow had red eyes. I couldn't believe it. I kicked at it and pushed my daughter out. It grabbed my legs again and tried to pull me under again, like all those years ago. Thankfully, my sister pulled me out. She saw it too. I was so glad I wasn't crazy. So what is it that wants me dead, Mr. Occult Expert? Is it a kappa since I'm Japanese? Is it a demon? Is it Final Destination? Can I ever go swimming again? Can I let my daughter swim? Wish you were feeling better. Let's catch up next time you are back in St. Pete. And this is from Trina.
Yeah. Hi, Trina. It's been a long time. Oh my gosh. And I'm so sorry about that. That sounds like an attachment of some sort that is not happy you got away. And yeah, oh my gosh. I would like to check in on
like somebody like Serenity Jenny or one of the, yeah, that's what I would do.
Phyllis would be good about that. Phyllis is really good at helping people with shadow people. And then, oh my gosh, I'd like to check on Jen too now. Oh my gosh, I've lost track of her. So, because if it's following you, it might be following her too. And the fact that it's kind of going down the bloodline, I don't like that. But that might have just been to get you in the water.
Yeah.
So that might have been baiting you. Be careful and get some help. But we might even get one of our medicine people friends from native stuff to, because that sounds like earth, water, spirit type thing. And
Kappa, I agree.
I forgot you're full Japanese, and Kappa is definitely that's something that haunts the waters in Japan, but I don't hear them over here, but things travel, so who knows.
And one thing I would recommend while you're getting all cleansed and stuff is on Etsy, there are different people, at least, and I'm sure you can find local artisans that make iron necklaces. Like I got Bo a really nice one. I have one that Mark will tell you I wear literally everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And if you look up what it's made out of, it will say that it's made out of pure iron. I would get one of those for you and your daughters, maybe even a bracelet, right now until you figure out what's happening. That's my recommendation.
And again, intention is all. If you think it's going to protect you, it likely will. So just put some force of will into that.
Okay.
Wow, Trina, it was good talking to you, and I can't wait to, I will catch up with you next time I'm in St. Pete.
Okay. Well, there's a threat, Trina. Watch out. Okay, Mark, it's you.
Okay. Hey, and this one's to you, Erica. Erica wanted under the bed stories, so here is mine.
Then I'll take this one since the next one says, hey, Mark.
Okay, that works. All right.
Erica wanted under the bed story, so here is mine. I did, and now I'm probably not going to sleep tonight, so let's do this. I lived in a trailer park with my stepmom for years. My mom died right after I was born. I'm sorry to hear that. Dad died just after marrying my stepmom about 5 years later. Ooh. My stepmom and I get along great. Only issues were money and my mom's asshole boyfriend she kept bringing home. One in particular kept being pervy around me. I was in my early teens and he would always try to catch me in the shower and other sick stuff like that. Ugh. Mom never believed me about him for some reason. Oh, I hate that too.
Yeah.
One night he tried to sneak into my bed, probably molest me or worse. Suddenly my bed started vibrating and then shaking. He panicked, ran away screaming. I thought it was one of my parents' ghosts protecting me. Thankfully, Mom chased him off after he came screaming out of my room. A few years later, I got my first girl crush to come home with me. We were making out in my room because my mom didn't know I was gay yet. The bed did the same vibrating and shaking. She was a witch and said I had a poltergeist. I told her about the other incident and thought it was my folk spirits. She said, no way, it was evil. I know this is long. I'm sorry. Finally, it seemed to stop after a few new partners. I moved out a few years later. I've never got another bed. I sleep on a mattress on the ground. Georgette. Whoa.
Wow.
Well, Georgette, I'm glad it protected you. I just, if your friend was accurate, maybe it protected you because it thought mine. Yep, that's freaky. Georgette, very freaky. I don't think it was that. I think you could probably have a bed. I don't think it was the bed situation. I think it was probably the place. But that's my opinion. And super freaky, Georgette. Hopefully you were able to come out and felt safe doing so.
There is a common phenomena that a preternatural one where beds seem to just shake sometimes, usually when extra pressure is put on them than what they're used to. So an extra person.
Like the bed is like, I don't like this.
It could be that. It could be just something, the way the beds are made. It's particularly common with iron or metal beds, because something with the metal just, the extra pressure, it's used to a certain level and it starts shaking. Like when you go in the water and that pressure starts crushing a submarine and stuff, it's a minor issue that, and it feels like trembling. So I'm wondering if that might be something to do with that. Just the skeptic in me, but it also could, I think it's something was protecting you. It definitely sounds like that. And it might've been protecting you from the person. It might've been protecting you from that first girl crush too, that might not be on the up and up. But again, I like to take people what they say. It might be something you might want to keep safe from. But sleeping on a mattress, I know lots of people who do that their whole lives and never have a problem. So, good for you.
Yeah, and I was going to say, there are some cultures where not sleeping on a mattress is bad because there are things that will eat your toes in the night. That's South African. Yep. Anyway, moving on.
Okay, well, you got your monster under the bed, Erica. One of the monsters under the bed.
No, I appreciate it, Georgette. Thank you. Mark, this one's to you.
All right. So, hey, Mark, a few weeks ago, I woke up at 4 a.m. while trying to fall back asleep. I started hearing rapid, high-pitched beeping. It sounded like it was being played right outside my ear. It was the same short message repeated over and over. 3 short beeps, 1 long, 2 short, 1 long, 3 short, 1 long. So, ... There were no breaks between letters, so I really can't decode it. It could be VUS or STUS or something similar. I don't know. It kept repeating for an hour or so until I fell asleep. Do you know anyone else who has experienced anything like this or know what was trying to be conveyed? Anonymous. Now, I got this one from the Erie, Florida link. And I tried Morse code. And it might, if I, in Morse code, it could possibly be hashtag, the little pound symbol from those of us that actually called it pound back in the day.
Mark, way to date yourself.
I know. Well, I also know Morse code. So that should tell you a little bit how nerdy I am. But that also could
be. Boy Scout.
I tried to translate that, and it might be SMIMR, which like simimer. I don't know what it's. It doesn't make sense if it's Morris. So it could be something else that I don't know. So if anybody wants to theorize that, I need my Gravity Falls fans who can figure out codes from.
Maybe he was trying to talk about Cimmerillion, but didn't know how to spell it. And it wants you to read some Tolkien.
It's always a good excuse to read Tolkien. So I'm sorry, Anonymous, that I couldn't help you, but that's the best I got. And I emailed that back to you as soon as you got that to me. So hopefully you've figured something else out, but I haven't heard from you again. So
sometimes I do hear noises when I'm falling asleep. And I know that sometimes you can hear your heartbeat like through the pillow.
Yeah.
But this sounds like it was more like a beep.
Tinnitus in the ear can sometimes come up like that. I'm actually working on something that I've had since I was a child is some sort of auditory hallucination that I hear every time I go to sleep. Sounds like somebody in a cocktail party in the next room. And I never quite figured it out, and we're working on that. So,
well, thank you, Anonymous. And yeah, thank you, Anonymous. Somebody will decode it for us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Bo.
Ooh, and this one is about my favorite cryptid, the not deer. So about Erica and the not deer, because Erica famously dislikes not deer, even though they're adorable and amazing.
I'm a taxidermist. And terrifying. What are you talking about?
And this person has my favorite career. I'm a taxidermist and feed my dogs a prey model raw diet. So fish and wildlife has me on speed dial to pick up dead deer and elk in our county. It saves taxpayer money in disposal fees, plus gives me meat, skulls, and hides to work with. Really a great system. That
sounds good.
Anyhow,
I don't like where this is going.
Anyhow, I once got a call about a deer that had run headlong into the broadside of a barn at Mockflick, and died instantly on the spot. That deer is not very smart. A state biologist ran a bunch of tests on it from samples they took at the time in case it was CWD or something, but it came back clear. And that, for anyone, is chronic wasting disease, which is a prone disease.
My media thought.
Makes deer act like that because it destroys their brain. Best we can figure out is that it was being chased by a predator and was so terrified that it didn't even look to see where it was going. Only weird part to that is that a predator likely would have eaten it, and the deer was completely untouched. Less than a year later, I was driving around the back roads at night in the same general area where the Mockflick deer died, and watched in combined fascination and horror as a doe jumped a barbed wire fence right in front of my truck. Lit by the high beams of my headlights, she initially landed on all fours, but promptly stood up on her rear legs, bunny hopping the rest of the distance across the road, reaching the barbed wire fence on the other side, then cleared that with an extra enthusiastic hop. As soon as she did, she dropped down again and was back to walking on all fours as if nothing had happened. No sign of injury, no limp, no real reason for her to have done that oddly unsettling display of bipedal behavior. And yet, there she was, hopping about like she'd rehearsed it. Point is, deer are wacky critters, and sometimes they do stuff that is absolutely beyond all semblance of reason. Half the time, it's because they're downright loony, and half the time, it's because they're guided by instincts that would give a jackal on crack a run for his money. And this is from Sarah.
Oh my God, Sarah, a jackal on crack that would give her. I think that is perfect. I love that.
That's our next shirt we got to get Chris Kutz to make is Jackals on Crack.
The deer are guided by instincts. Give jackals on crack a run for his money. I think that's funny. Mark said something when we were driving in our last road trip that I thought was hysterical, but it's so true, is that deer are like giant squirrels.
Yep. 100%.
They really are. They're not. They have little pea-sized brains, and they just do weird deer stuff.
We have one that's kind of perched outside our front door now. It's a mama and a baby, and I think she just laid them somewhere. They've got a nest somewhere down our hill, and every time we come out to the front door, they're like, what do we do? Do we go left? Do we go right? Do we just stand here? And then they run off. But it's that moment of indecision that's just hysterical to watch.
Yeah.
I love deer.
It's true. But Sarah, thank you for that insight. But
yeah. So there you go, Erica.
Deer didn't then turn and face you with a human face, because then we'd be having a different conversation.
I want to see it through the two-legged hop.
Over to you.
All right. My turn. I'm a licensed therapist. And I've been working quietly for years with experiencers. I've also had my own personal encounters, but one story in particular pushed me to create something more lasting. Several years ago, through mutual friends, I met my friend Rob. At 14, Rob dove into a swimming pool and broke his neck at C4. He's now 43. Despite his physical limitations, he discovered meditation as a form of healing and connection. And that's when things got strange. Rob began seeing lights over his house, not once or twice, but repeatedly. He started documenting them and now has hours and hours of recorded footage. I've joined him for several of these sessions and have filmed anomalies myself. I'm currently directing a short film based on Rob's story. It blends his real footage with a stylized fictional third act in which the lights return and heal his spinal cord injury. It's my way of honoring the emotional truth behind what he's lived through and what many experiencers feel. That contact isn't always about fear or abduction. Sometimes it's about transformation. If you're interested, I'd be glad to share the teaser trailer. And we got sent the link for that from Darwin. So we will post that in our links for this show.
Okay. Cool. I like hearing that instead of it being scary.
Yeah, that does happen. That does happen.
No, it's true. It's true. Bo, what is our timing? Are we ready to go on, or do we need to take a break from our sponsors?
We do need to take a break and hear from our amazing, wonderful, perfect sponsors.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Do 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 do.
Do 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 do.
Alrighty, and we're back. And my tea is cold, so let's get terrifying. Okay.
All right.
Mark and Erica. Well, hello.
Hello.
I got actually really scared. Okay. Mm-mm. See, Mark, this is why I think timing. Timing.
You chose the timing.
Couple things. You did all this. I'm hands off.
Whatever. Okay, here we go. I've been experiencing this whole moving stars, quote unquote, thing since the winter. I've shown multiple friends and every single one of them has been jaw dropped watching these so-called stars move in the wild, impossible patterns. To be sure, I wasn't just imagining it. I've actually written down the directions we see the stars, quote unquote, move. Every time we've had identical notes. I've even used a laser pointer and watched the things respond like they were chasing the beam. I've seen stars suddenly get intensely bright and then just shut off completely. But what happened last night, that was something else. Okay, first of all, this is all a little terrifying or cool. I'm not sure which, but you said you got scared, so here we go. I was on the rooftop with a friend who's seen the phenomenon before. We started noticing dim little lights flying into the quote-unquote star we were watching. Not like meteors, although we saw a bunch of shooting stars too, these lights were different. They were taking curved, intelligent-looking paths across the entire sky and all converging towards the same star. We ended up watching for almost 3 hours. Around 4 a.m., I was exhausted and said, "All right, buddy, thanks for the show tonight. That was wild. Could you do one last cool thing before we go in?" A few moments later, we both saw something completely insane. Three glowing orbs appeared in totally different part of the sky. They weren't star-like at all. They were translucent, orangish, and arranged in a triangle formation, big and obvious. My friend looked at me and said, "What the fuck, do you see that?" I said, "What the fuck are you talking about? Of course I see it. What is that?" Then it started moving slowly at first, following a wide curved path. The orbs began to spread out, shifting the triangle to a more obtuse angle, almost flattening into a straight line. It curved towards the same quote-unquote star we've been watching all night, And as it passed near it, the entire thing phased out. I've seen a lot of strange things in the sky, but this was something different. Felt like some kind of cloak ship had been watching us the whole time while we watched a star. I can't explain it. It was eerie. I genuinely felt like our entire experience at night, all of it, had been observed by whatever the hell that was. Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, that does sound terrifying. And what do you think, Mark?
I think sounds like you live near a military base, and that you and there have been some unusual testing of craft nearby you. The three orbs in a triangle sound like that one craft we've talked about a dozen times, the triangle object, and it does seem to flatten out like they and not make any noise and do all that. The big thing, you know, stars with little stars coming into it, that sounds like what some people have described as the drone mothership with little drones flying into it and stuff. So I think this might be military that is training stuff that we just aren't allowed to talk about yet or is classified still. And this stuff's been classified for decades. That triangle plane, we've known about it for decades, those of us who've been following this. So come on and unclassify it, people. We know. But
people have seen it. I've heard, thank you.
Yep. So some of these things, come on. I think, but it could be something else. It sounds amazing. I'd like to know where exactly you're at, and we'd love to come out and try to film some stars with you. So,
yes, that would be really neat to go see. That one I might actually be willing to go see. We'll see. And then I get abducted, and actually, better get me out of that if that happens. That's all I'm going to say.
You're abducted by the military, so you're going to get abducted.
Yep, my lab. All right.
Wow. Okay. Whose turn is it? Is it yours, Bo?
It's Bo.
I lost track, but yeah. I will go. Something strange is happening in a remote town outside Glacier National Park. There's a little town in remote northern Montana, right on the river, just outside Glacier National Park, near the Canadian border, where I've had a few experiences. I still can't explain. My boyfriend and I go up there a lot in the summer. We're big into fly fishing and rafting, and it's kind of our favorite escape. It's insanely beautiful. There's a bar and music venue and a tiny mercantile at the center of town, but no cell service, no Wi-Fi, and it takes a long drive down a dirt road to get there. Big mountains, a rushing river, and this feeling that you're somewhere different. We always joke that it's a portal. The first weird thing that happened was about 4 years ago. We were up there with three friends, staying in a private cabin that belonged to a friend of a friend. It was pretty close to a few other cabins. After grilling and hanging by the fire until around midnight, everyone but my boyfriend and I were inside to sleep. We stayed back to grab something from the truck and ended up just sitting in the truck bed, talking and watching the stars. That's when we heard it. A single loud clap coming from somewhere behind us. Maybe 100 yards out. A few seconds later, another clap, just one, but this time from our right. Then another one from the left. They were spaced out, not fast or random, and each one clearly came from a different direction. Then another clap came from behind us again, only closer this time, maybe 75 yards away. One at a time, loud, and from different angles. It felt intentional, like something was circling us. At one point, we heard another clap, and dogs in the area started barking. We looked at each other, but didn't say a word. We were frozen. Then we heard one more. This one was so close, it felt like it was right there. Without speaking, we both jumped up and sprinted to the cabin. I've never run that fast in my life. It wasn't just being creeped out. It was that full-body panic, the kind where your brain is just screaming to get inside. As soon as we shut the cabin door behind us, we heard one last clap. It came from the woods right outside, maybe 15 feet away. Last year, we were back in the area, this time camping about 10 miles down the road at a lesser-known spot along the river we were floating on during the day. It was a group of us and a few tents, and there was a guy we didn't know staying in a sprinter van fairly close to us. He was friendly, and we talked to him for a while. He mentioned he used to be in the Air Force. Later that night, our group of six or so friends were split up. Some were by the fire, a few were down by the river, and someone was off behind the trees, peeing, LOL. I looked up and saw this fast light in the sky, kind of like a shooting star, coming from the right to the left. But then it suddenly stopped, grew in brightness, flashed, hovered for a second, glowing bright, and then shot straight up into the sky incredibly fast before disappearing. Right away, people from all over the campsite started yelling, "Did you see that?" including the guy in the Sprinter van. He came over, saying he saw it too, and told us it wasn't the first time. He said he'd seen the same phenomenon twice before at this exact campsite. Considering his background in the Air Force, it definitely gave me more weight to how shocked he seemed by it. Later that night, we also saw Starlink satellites pass overhead, and those were really easy to recognize and totally different from what we had seen earlier. A month or so later, we were back in town at the bar, seeing live music. We started chatting with one of the guys in the band, just talking about the area in general, and the campground came up casually. We didn't say a single word about what had happened to us there, but the musician just goes, "Damn, that campground is beautiful, but every time I'm there, I see UFOs." We just stared at him. We also have a friend who works for Glacier National Park and has seen or heard about unmarked government vehicles heading into that area more than once. I'll be heading back to that campsite in July and will definitely report back if anything else strange happens. And they also noted, "I use ChatGPT to edit my grammar. This is real, I swear, LOL." And this is from Paulina. And all I can think about is the book Dreamcatcher.
That reminded me of that. That's Glacier National Park, isn't it?
So, yeah.
But yeah, it's a creepy, creepy place. But again, near a couple military bases. So again, this could be something.
And near the border too, and you never know what's going on over there.
Yeah, they do a lot of testing up there because that's, we got to keep our eyes on our friends across the water there. So,
exactly. Oh my gosh. But, okay, that's nice and terrifying. More
it could be that the reason
going next.
It could be a reason the military are there. So, but anyway, thank you, Paulina.
Yes, oh my thank gosh. You.
All right. Dog man. I love Dog the exclamation. And it's all caps. In an area I've been researching, after a man that goes by SD told me that he had seen a huge creature in this area, the size of a grizzly bear with a head that looked like a wolf, with long arms, claws, and around 7 feet tall, black and gray in color. This is a remote rural area, and SD has been going there to fish until he saw this thing, which he called a wolf-like creature. Now, when you can hear and see fear in someone's face and voice, you know they saw something that really scared them. Yes, I've noticed that many times talking to people. I've been out to this area, and I had seen some strange marks on the trees and some different types of tracks, but I saw no creature. I was about to go out to that area again later that night when I got a call from SD. He's frantically telling me I'm not going to believe what happened. He began to tell me last weekend he and his wife decided to drive out to that area and see if they could see this creature once again. SD said he and his wife were sitting in the area of an old gravel and dirt road in his truck. He said they'd been there an hour sitting and waiting in his truck. He said it was super quiet, no frogs, bugs, nothing, dead silent the whole time they were there. His wife had to use the bathroom. There's no bathroom in the area. So she got out of his truck on her side of the passenger side and went near the side area between the rear tire and the rear bumper, started to pee. Then he heard her screaming so loudly. SD opens his door, runs to the rear truck to see why his wife is screaming. And this huge wolf-like creature has SD's wife by the arm, dragging her down the gravel dirt road as she continues to scream. Steve pulled a 45 caliber firearm, fires one round into the creature's back, then a second round as the creature flinches, a third round, then a fourth round into the thing's back, and it finally releases his wife. Creature screams, yells out in pain as it disappears into the woods. He and his wife are terrified. He gets his wife up and in his truck, and they speed out of there. His wife has a badly bruised arm and said she was pulling this thing's 4 to 5 inch hair, trying to get it to release her when SD fired on it. Of course, Beth, SD, and his wife are severely shook up and want to be going out of there. While they are very lucky, not my usual spot in land between the lakes, but this was in New Jersey. Daryl.
Wow.
This isn't helping with my dogman did nothing wrong approach to everything, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Again, Bo, I'm on the side that I think Dogman is probably one of the ferocious, most ferocious.
Dogman did nothing wrong except this one time.
Yeah, and people go, well, what happens when you run into them? You go missing and you don't exist anymore.
Maybe he was mad she was peeing outside.
I was going to say, maybe he's taking her to a...
Pees. That's where maybe, it pees.
He was taking it to a
porta potty.
A porta potty right down the street. Just like, hey, come with me. And I mean, I've seen gorillas do that when people come to film them. And one of them will be like, grab one of them just to show how easy it would be to hurt them. He doesn't kill them or anything. He just like drags them a few feet and says, look, I could have done that to you anytime, buddy. I'm king of the jungle. And I think that's what this might have been, just a show of force saying, look, I'm king of the forest. You don't want to be here. Yeah, no, yeah. A lot of people don't talk about Jersey, but it has a lot of Bigfoot and Dogman sightings. So, I mean, Land Between the Lakes is the famous one, but I'm not 100% sure that one's legit. This sounds legit.
So. Yikes. I don't love this, and I really wish people would not go looking for these things when they know they're out there if they're not experienced at tracking and doing this sort of thing. So, yeah. You know my whole rule. Like, why would you go put yourself in a situation with a giant grizzly bear-sized wolf creature? Like, hard pass.
Yeah, leave Dogman alone.
Because Bo leaves Dogman alone.
How many 45 slugs he throw into that thing and it barely yelps? Yeah.
No, hard pass. Yeah.
And your BB gun are not going to do any good, so don't worry about it.
Okay, here we go. When I was 8 or 9 years old, I saw something terrifying for a child to see. What the heck? How did I do this to myself? Okay.
You did this, Erica.
I know. Here we go. It took me years to admit what I saw was real and even more years to talk about it and decide to share it here to make sense of it. And if anyone has had a similar experience, I saw a lady in white. So here's the scene. I was in my room of my parents. They have a dresser with a big mirror just beside the door. I love the dresser. That's why I use it a lot. In the mirror, you can see the bed and where my father hangs his shirts in the corner. I always had a fear of that corner and would look back there whenever I was in the room. And when I look in the mirror sometimes, my dad's shirts would start to look like shadows, especially white shirt. Then I look at it and nothing. So one day, 1.5 hours before dusk, we were out and I ran in to brush my hair in the pretty dresser. It was a bit dark, but light coming from the window in the hall facing the room. Since the dresser is besides the door, I have natural light and decided not to turn the lights because I'm a big girl and not scared of the dark. I always turn on the lights. I'm a big girl and terrified of the dark. Okay. As I was brushing my hair again, I got a fear of the corner behind me, especially on my peripheral. My father's white shirt is hanging. I looked in the mirror and I froze at what I saw. A woman with long black hair, a white simple dress, and I can't see her arms. They were covered with the dress sleeves, which was long. Her dress was whiter than my father's shirt, and her skin was white, grayish, ghostly white, and her face. She has no features, like if you took an eraser in her wrist, eyes, nose, and brows, there's nothing there. I don't like this. I turn around because I'm imagining it in the mirror and my eyes are playing tricks because the dim light, right? Nope. She's standing right there in the corner in front of my dad's shirts and I keep staring at her and she's still there. It's still here. Terror I've never felt through my body and I couldn't stare any longer, screaming and running away hysterically. I told my family what happened, and my dad seemed uninterested, maybe because I thought he was making excuses not to go out. My mom scolded me and she said, I told you don't look at the mirror in the dark and at dusk too. I taught you better. You know, evil spirits come out at dusk. My mom is superstitious that she read some religious verse on me and I feel safer. I slept with my parents for weeks after that. And when I sleep alone, I would wake up to find everything dark. I can't handle it. And I'll scream till my parents come to me. Since that, I say I can't handle the dark. I sleep with lamps and I don't look in the mirror at dark. I still have that mirror. It's in my room facing me because I like, and I'm pretty sure it's not the mirror because I never saw anything else. Years later, when I left religion and became an atheist agnostic, this incident kept bugging me because it doesn't fit in that worldview that there is only the material world. I was searching and found out that looking into mirrors in the dark can distort the images, and people reported seeing monsters in one study. But my experience is different. It was not just in the mirror. No, I turned around and I stared and she was still there. It was her reflection in the mirror. This just kept bugging me for years. I researched more and I found out the woman in white had been seen around the world in different cultures. Is this crazy how my 8-9-year-old brain would make this up? My imagination this good? I'm pretty sure I'm not crazy or schizophrenic. I didn't see anything else ever since. I just wanted to share my experience because I don't talk about it with anyone else besides my family. I'm pretty sure of what I saw. I wasn't sleepy. I was running around full of energy, excited to be going out with my parents. It was still light outside when I saw that thing. What does it even mean? Is it a bad omen? Why am I the only one who saw it in the house? I love your show and heard you mention the lady in white before. Is it common? Donna. Well, Donna, the answer to that is yes, it is common. Yes, you probably did see it. And, you know, other than her dating the hat man, I'm not 100% sure in my mind what the lady in white means. Because I think she is some kind of omen, but for what, I have no idea.
A faceless lady in white? That sounds like you were seeing, and people, many of the people have seen spirits, including my encounter was, they looked photo negative. They looked like just black and white. And that's why we have ladies in white and men in black, stuff like that, or shadow people and things like that. So I don't know what to tell you what you saw, but you saw something and your brain, when you turned, it was there. It was, yes, that there is that study. You stare into a mirror a long time. You start imagining things. Your face starts getting warped. You'll start seeing crazy things. Don't do it unless you're really, really, really in a weird mood. But I don't know what else to tell you, but I think, yeah, you saw something and welcome to the world of the preternatural. It doesn't have to break from your atheism, agnosticism. It's a science we don't understand yet. And that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah. Again, we have, if you look back and you go through history, if you told people we would be flying in the sky in Roman times, they would have thought you were nuts because you'd have to be a god in order to do that. So, like, yeah, there's
exactly
preternatural, my friend, preternatural. But I do believe you probably saw something. So, thank you, Donna, for sharing.
Yeah, then don't close that door to things you don't understand because it gets knocked off its hinges pretty easy. So,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. I think we have time for, there's one more really big one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's my turn. I'll hit it.
Go for it, Mark.
Yeah. Okay, here we go, gang. Buckle up. It says, hey, eerie folks. Hey. I'm loving the glitches stories. Here's mine from London. Ooh, a new glitch story.
Ooh, I love glitch stories.
Yep. I grew up in a low-income area in London in the early 90s. It was tough, but we had fun. Me and my friends used to get up to mischief a lot. One of our preferred ways to pass the time was to go to the golfy, quotes, albeit just meant climbing a wall that separated our neighborhood from a golf course and collect lost golf balls. I don't know why we did it, but hey, we were young. And the fluorescent yellow balls we got were kind of cool to us. Anyhow, during one summer break from school, I went out and met up with my best friend. Nobody else was around that day, which is weird because usually the neighborhood was teeming with our friend group. I know that seems trivial, but the whole neighborhood was like unusually quiet. A strange vibe because I remember it was a perfect day. We wandered around talking for a while and inevitably got bored, and he suggested a trip to the golfie to see if we could find any balls. So off we went to the short walk. We got there after a short walk. It wasn't far, but I remember that we just couldn't find anyone around. I don't know. It was bizarre to say the least. Like, we could hear normal neighborhood noises, as you would expect, but we just never encountered anyone. I remember we commented on it being strange and actually surmised that maybe all our friends had the same idea as us, and they would all be at the golfie waiting for us. Not unusual, given none of us had phones, and we would randomly just meet in a few places, most of which we'd already been past at this point. So we arrived at the wall that we usually scrambled over to get to the golfie. He hopped up before me and sat astride it to pull me up. Once we were both up, we looked at each other perplexed. I generally remember to this day the confusion on his face. We looked over at a place we had been hundreds of times before, and it was different. Instead of a small wooded area that gave onto the golf course, it was a huge paved area full of rows of greenhouses and odd-looking square areas that looked like they were meant for plants. These greenhouses were not new, though. Matter of fact, they looked abandoned, old, and not taken care of. Most of them had plastic sheeting over the sides where glass used to be, and they were gently flapping in the summer breeze. The squared areas had weeds and other sorts growing out of them. Likewise, the paving slabs that made up the floor, while we sat there for a while watching, we had no clue what to make of it all. Obviously, this was too good to be true in our minds, and once the initial surprise wore off, curiosity set in. We both hopped down and began to explore the place. I know it sounds banal, but the whole area was just off, like it just didn't seem normal. I can't explain it to this day, but we were sticking close to each other, even though we were laughing and kidding as we went further in. We looked in the greenhouses, and they were just full of rundown equipment of some sort and overgrown with weeds and plants. After about 20 minutes of exploration, I remember we stopped and looked around kind of in disbelief at how big this whole area was. We hadn't changed direction, and now in the middle of it all, could neither see the neighborhood nor the golf course. This is when it got really fucked. As we stood there, my friend looked at me and said, "Can you hear that?" The look on his face was dead serious, and I stood listening. "What?" I asked him. He just put his finger to his lips and listened more. And then I heard it, like a really low hum, like the type of high voltage of electricity makes. I don't know, something between a hum and a buzz. And as we stood there, it got louder and louder as if it was getting closer, but not from any particular direction from all around us. We started a brisk walk back to where we came from. The buzz kept getting louder, and we panicked and started to run. As we ran, and I mean full sprint, through these weird constructions, we started hearing something behind us. I can't explain it. It was like almost a mechanical noise, like not a human or animal. The plastic sheeting and the way the place was laid out made it impossible to see anything more than 10 or 15 meters, so we never saw what it was, but it was there, right behind us. We must have run hard for maybe 3 or 4 minutes in pure adrenaline, and I remember getting that wall completely empty and using my last bit of energy I had left to clamber over it. Once we got over it, both of us threw up, probably from the fact we had just sprinted so hard for so long. We made our way back through the neighborhood, and everything seemed normal again. People, cars, activity, etc. was business as usual. The fucked up part is once we explained what happened to our friend group, they obviously all wanted to go and see what had been found and had chased us, understandably, because it sounded so insane. The next day, a whole group of us, maybe 10 or 12, went back to see the place. It wasn't there. And I swear we went up and down that wall for an hour looking for it. It just wasn't there. There was no way it was in some other place. We only used that wall to get there. And given the sheer size of that area, if we were off by even 100 or 200 meters, we would have seen it. Literally nothing. Nothing. Me and my friend occasionally spoke about it, like, "Hey, remember that day?" But never really more than that. Then I guess life happened. We all went our different ways. Hell, maybe he'll hear this and recognize the story. Either way, only the two of us knew about it until now. Fucking weird place. Michael.
Oh my God, Michael, I love that story so much.
Yeah. But I can't stop thinking
about X-Files. What people have said, that experience these glitches in the Matrix, that like it's a different dimension or something. And I feel like physicists, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm calling you out, will eventually be able to explain to us how that happens, because I'm sure there's some way to get in between them. I'm just wondering if some action occurs that does that propelling thing. And yeah. I hope I'm alive when that all gets explained.
I got scolded by a scientist that said, we got to stop calling it an alternate dimension, because dimensions are forms of measurement. First dimension, second dimension, third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, time. You know, so we got to start calling it parallel universes. So that's what they want. So I promised I would on futures. So, but I apologize to him, but it will be, I think you're right. I think it's a parallel universe.
Eventually, I'm just saying there's got to be a way to slip in between them. And these people are obviously doing it by accident. So it'll be interesting when it's sort of nailed down as a science as to how you go between these different universes. But that maybe was the, I play Fallout 76, and what that sounded like to me are the robots that guard or were stationed at some of these places that went, derelict, but they're still doing their duty.
It made me think of our alien abduction stories we heard from like Adam Hutton with the buzzing noise and then with the throwing up. Like that made me think of that too.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I was like, say when they threw up, maybe it was the transfer of coming back into a pressurized area from a depressurized area or vice versa. That noise, the hum, that could be whatever is generating the field that let it all blend together. Yeah, there's a lot to this to unpack. This is a great story, Michael. And, I'm with you. That's a fucking weird place.
Wow.
Well, gang, I think that's it. That's all we got time for. Otherwise we're going into overtime, but we have tons more stories, gang. We will be doing another one of these ASAP, and keep them coming. Oh my gosh. These are incredible.
Exactly. Keep them coming. We love hearing them. Thank you for sending them in. Thank you for creeping me out. And as we all know, I recorded this during the day because we know how we feel about recording these at night. So, yep. Mark, give us one of your classic send-offs, please.
Yep. And again, thank you all our supporters. Thanks for liking and sharing and subscribing. Thank you for tuning in. Please tell your friends. Let's get more people in so we get more stories. And thank you to all those people who sent these in. Oh my gosh. It takes a lot of courage to step up on some of these. And wow, you wow us every time. And all that said, I'm going to say, if you can't handle monsters under the bed, get rid of the bed and sleep on a mattress. If you can't handle walking into another dimension, then, just turn around, walk back the way you came. And if you do see a dog man, just remember, he's not more afraid of you than you are of him. And when you see that hoppin' not deer, tell America says hi, and we'll see you on the other side.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.